Yudalad Amir Aleph, first line. Okay, the Mishnah said that when they measured the distance, what's called Eglat Ufa, right? You find a dead body outside the city, you need to find out who's the closest city, the elders come out. So now Mishnah, our Mishnah said, by Eglat Ufa, it says, Smichus Kenema Beshloisha. Rabbi Yehuda says five. But the Gemara says, our Mishnah, the Lepel, does not go according to this Tanya. To this Tanya. Why? Tanya says in the Braise, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, and Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says, Yotzes Keinecha v'sheftecha. Your elders and your judges have to go out. So who's the Keinecha, who's Sheftecha? So the Gemara says, Keinecha is the Sanhedrin. Who's the Sheftecha? The Melech v'Kein Godel. The Melech and the Kein Godel have to be there. Okay? Now, this, the Belazer ben Yaakov obviously holds that you need not only the members of the Sanhedrin, you need the king and the Kohen Gadol. So Melech Dersiv, how does Sheftecha get to the Melech? Because the Pasuk says, Melech b'mishpat yamid oret. A king through justice will establish the land. So you see, a king is connected to Mishpat and Kohen Gadol. Okay? So therefore, according to the Blessed Ben Yaakov, it's not enough that the Bezdin comes, the three or the five, the two opinions of the Mishnah, you also need the Melech and the Kohen Gadol. So therefore, the Gemara says, our Mishnah doesn't go according to that opinion. So now the Gemara says, Iboy Lahu, the question of the Gemara was, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, b'chadu p'lipalik, does he argue on one din of a Mishnah? But the Gemara is going to explain this. Oy, b'tarti plig. Or is he arguing in two dinim? What's the thing? B'melech v'kayin gadu palug, does he argue concerning the king and the kayin gadu if they need to come or not? The Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says you need a melech and a kayin gadu, and the Chachamim hold you don't. But Sanhedrin, as far as the Sanhedrin, you need three, or Rabbi Yehuda, you need five. That's one way of looking at it. A Dilma, but Sanhedrin Nami Polik. He argues even in the din of Sanhedrin, and he holds Kula Sanhedrin Bini. You need all 71. In other words, like this. And our Mishnah said a din, who has to be there? Arguing Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, three members or five members of the Bezdin. That's it. Does the king and the Kohen Gadol need to be there? No. According to our Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, you need to have a king and the Kohen Gadol also. So the Gemara says, is that all he's arguing about? But as far as the Sanhedrin, three or five are enough. Or does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov also hold that you need all 71 of the Bezdin to be there? So is he arguing only about the king and the Kohen Gadol, or is he also arguing about how many people in the Sanhedrin? So Amar Rav Yosef says, Toshma, come, I'll prove it to you. It says, Motzana Bais Pagi Vam Imra Alim, there's a din was called, the Bezdin, if a guy didn't listen to the Zokin Mamre, a rebellious Zokin. What's the din of a Zokin Mamre? If a Zokin Mamre rebels against the court, that means he's one of the elders, we'll see exactly what it means. He rebels against the court. The court made a ruling, and he intentionally rules against them. Okay? So the whole procedure, what he has to do, what happens to that person.
Nowadays
so.
We have it also, Zokin
Mamre? No. There's only Tam the Bez.
I said the Tam Chacham that goes against the Halacha is like that also, no?
No, but he can. It's only in time of the big Bezdin, because, like the Rambam writes in his introduction, once the big Bezdin made a ruling, the Rambam writes in his introduction an interesting thing. In the olden times, there's no such thing as a machlekes in halacha. Why? Because if there was an argument, they brought it to the big Bezdin, the Bezdin HaGadol, and they made a ruling. Once they made a ruling, that was it. Anytime there was an argument, it ended up in the Supreme Court of Bezdin, and Bezdin made a ruling, and that was it. So what's the din of Zokin Mamre? Beis Din made a ruling, and this guy continued to rule against the Sanhedrin. He disagreed with them, and he continued ruling against them.
One can do that? Sanhedrin?
He did. When they bring money, could he? He can't. Once they make the ruling, it's a ruling. The guy did it. So the din is he gets killed. Yeah. Now, it says what happened. Matzan, if they found him, I mean this rebellious Zokin, Beis Pagi was an animal stall. It was a place outside Yerushalayim. Okay, a neighboring area of neighborhood of Yerushalayim. So, and Vihim Ralem, and he rebelled against them. He ruled in that area, outside Yerushalayim, against the Beis Din. So I would think, I would think that would be a rebellion against Halacha. Talmud Leimar, it says like this, V'kamtov Alisa Lamokim, Melamed Shamokim called Geirim. In other words, it can only be, when is a rebellion a capital offense? When it's in the place of the big Beis Din, meaning in Yerushalayim, not outside Yerushalayim. Okay, that's what the Beis Din says. Now, it says over here, what happened over here? Beis Din went out to Beis Pagi. Beis Pagi was a suburb of Yerushalayim, yeah? The Beis Din went out to Beis Pagi, and they found that the person rebelled. Right? So therefore, it's not a rebellion, because it wasn't in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara is going to discuss, what do you mean the Beis Din went out? Who went out of the Beis Din? There's a case, Beis Din went out to Beis Pagi, and over there they found the rebellion saying. That means Beis Din went out, right, to Beis Pagi. So the question over here is, the Nofer Kama, how many members of the Beis Din went out? Elam and Miksasan, if only half the Beis Din went out, or part of the Beis Din, maybe the guys that remained in Yerushalayim agreed with this guy. What happened? Beis Din went out, and they found the guy that rebelled against them. Yeah, just analyze the case, not the halacha, just the case. Beis Din went out, and they found this guy rebelled against Beis Din. Now, if only half the Beis Din went out, or part of the Beis Din, maybe the Beis Din in Yerushalayim agreed with this rebellious sage.
Part of them.
Yeah, but maybe the majority agreed with him.
But the ruling is already ruled.
No. This their ruling is happening now.
Oh,
they went out. This guy ruled against them, wherever they were. Right? So the question is, how much of the Beis Din went out? If only part of the Beis Din went out, he can be a Zokin Mamre. He cannot be a rebellious scholar, because maybe the people left in Yerushalayim agreed with the guy. Therefore, we must say, El Pshita, the Nafu Kula. The whole Beis Din of 71 went out. The whole Beis Din of 71 went out.
Who agreed with them?
No. This guy, Paskin against Beis Din. Yeah? Maybe the Beis Din that was remaining in Yerushalayim, maybe they agreed with him in his Psak. The Mishnah Braisa says they found him rebellious in Beis Pagi.
But isn't the same Beis Din coming from Yerushalayim to Beis Pagi?
Right. So the question is, but if the whole Beis Din didn't go out, maybe the Beis Din remaining agreed with this guy.
So the people who remained there.
Yeah, maybe they agreed with him, so he's not a Zokin Mamre. So he says, so therefore we must say that the whole Beis Din went out. Right? So the Gemara says, Lemai, why would the whole Beis Din go out? Why would the whole Beis Din of 71 go out? Ilei meledvarushus. Is it for a physical matter? Mimotz and Nafka, Beis Din can't go out. Voksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Shorereich agan asar al yachsa mozik. Your navel is like a moon-shaped basin. Let not the strength of blend diminish. Meaning, there always has to be a Beis Din of 23 left in the Beis Din. Alapshita. So therefore we must say, they went out the Dvar Mitzvah. They went out for a mitzvah. Right? Otherwise, the whole Beis Din couldn't go out.
If there's a Beis Din of 71, and let's say 30 of them go out,
they can only go for Dvar Rishus, as long as he lives 23. But if it's a Dvar Mitzvah, the Gemara thinks that they can all go out.
Can they finish
this? One second, let's just finish this. Ela Pshita LeDvar Mitzvah. Hei Chidami. Now, what mitzvah can the whole Beis Din go out for? This, what mitzvah is it necessary for the Beis Din to go out? Elu eich lemedidas egla. For egla rufa. To measure. But Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he domer kula Sanhedrin binin. And this shows that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds you need the whole Beis Din. In other words, like this. The Gemara asked the question before. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, in addition to the Beis Din, you need Kohen Gadol Melech. So the Gemara asks, what's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion? Does the whole Sanhedrin have to go out? Or three or five, depending on the Rabbi Shimon, for them to go out? So Rabbi Yosef wants to prove that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the whole Sanhedrin has to go out.
Besides the Melech.
Besides the Melech and Kohen Gadol. The whole 71 has to go out. He says, how do I prove it? He says like this. It says, if the Beis Din went out to Beis Pagi, and find the Rebbe Yosage, right, that then it's not a real rebellion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it wasn't in Yerushalayim. Now the question is, if only part of the Beis Din went out, how do you know this sage rebelled against the entire Beis Din? Maybe everybody in Yerushalayim agreed with him. So he must say that the whole Beis Din went out. Now, if a Beis Din can't go out for the Dvar Rishus, for non-mitzvah things, so you must say the whole Beis Din went out for a mitzvah. Correct? That means, what mitzvah can they possibly go out for? Egla Rufa. So you see from this Braisa that you need 71 to go out for Egla Rufa. Which opinion could possibly hold that? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say you need three or five.
Why is it only
what else do you have? Yeah, the Gemara is going to answer that they went out. There's other things to go out for. No. If you want to add to the cities, to the Beis Hamikdash, then you need the whole 71. What?
I don't even know that he's the Chayv Misa. It seems like a very...
Terror says. Punishment.
It is.
Yeah, it's in the pod. Yeah. Terror says he gets killed.
But this only happens if this situation happens in Yerushalayim.
Only in Yerushalayim.
Why? That's a
click. It says, "Vekamta v'lisa l'mokim." It has to be in the place where the Beis Din sits.
And the judges themselves have to go after him. They can't send the shliach.
To do what?
To verify his lie, like right the situation was not.
They verified it. They could verify through a shliach.
Why is the argument whether or not they have to leave 23 or not?
No, because normally you need to have at least a minimum of 23 in the Big Beis Din at all times.
And we're assuming that the rest are going to go get him. Go find
unless,
him.
If it's Dvar Mitzvah, then the Gemara is assuming then they can all go out.
And this is a situation where they have to go, the judges...
Yeah, because you need Egla Rufa. This is what the Gemara thinks now. So you see from here that Egla Rufa needs all 71.
Talking about Egla Rufa or this judge that went against the ruling?
So they went out to measure Egla Rufa, and meanwhile they found that judge ruled against them. In whatever.
So meanwhile, they went to attend to the
right. So Amalei Abaye said, no. Like, it's not a proof. The din is, they wanted to make Yerushalayim bigger, or they wanted to make the Azorah, the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash, bigger. And the Mishnah says, you cannot make the boundary of Yerushalayim bigger. Or Azaris, only a Bezna of Shivan Vechad, a Bezna of 71. Meaning like this. Yerushalayim is a certain Kedusha, and the Azara of the Beis Hamikdash is. In fact, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says there's 10 Kedushas. Eretz Yisrael is holy of the whole world, and then Yerushalayim, and then this, and then that. Okay? The Torah says, if you want to make the boundaries of Yerushalayim bigger, it's not just geography, making the city bigger. You're talking about Kedusha. There's certain dinim that apply only to Yerushalayim. Certain kabbalis you can eat only in Yerushalayim. Certain givings you need to do only in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim had to be a certain din. To add to the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, the Mishnah says you need 71 people to do it. So Rav Yosef's whole proof was, what could the Sanhedrin possibly go out for? Only Egla Rufa. So you see, Egla Rufa needs 71. So Abai says, no. Maybe everybody says Egla Rufa does not need 71. Why is the whole Beis Din going out? to do other things, to add to the city of Yerushalayim, to add to the Azar of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, we don't have a proof that you need Egla Rufa, and Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov was told you need 71. But the Gemara is going to prove for a Braisa that Rabbi Yosef is right. That according to Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, you need 71 for Egla Rufa.
How about optional war? Is that part of the Sanhedrin has to decide on an optional war?
Not optional war, that the king can decide. Mechames Mitzvah, you need the Sanhedrin.
Logistically, this was not a problem, the whole Sanhedrin time.
The Dvar Mitzvah.
71 people schlepping out to...
Where did they go already? To the outskirts of Yerushalayim. You know, there's the old city... Today, there's the old city and the new city. Now, the new city of Yerushalayim does not have the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. Because it wasn't added by a Bezdin of 71. It was added by the Bezdin of Arik Sharon. I mean, I don't know, whatever, in 67. It wasn't by a Bezdin of 71.
So, only talking about...
What?
How did they decide on the case of Hezuz? When he went against was Sanhedrin involved? Or?
The big Sanhedrin ruled that he had to be
killed.
It was
a case like this?
Yashkin was killed by the Jews, not by the Kohen.
Yeah, I understand, but how was it?
Because he was a...
Zakon member?
Not a Zakon, he wasn't part of the Sanhedrin. He was a Mesis and Mediach. He caused Jews to turn away from Yiddishkeit.
He said he was a prophet when he wasn't.
He's a Mesis and Mediach.
Is Zakon Mamre only a part?
Zakon Mamre is a member of the Bezdin
that is
that
going
actively ruled against the ruling of the rest of the Bezdin.
So he was a member of the Bezdin?
Yes.
No, not Yashka.
Not Yashka. No. Zakon Mamre, an elder that was a rebellious elder. Once the Bezdin of 71 ruled, based on majority, whatever the halacha was, yeah? Once the Bezdin of 71 ruled, the majority of Bezdin ruled, that was it. The only time a later Bezdin could change it, if the greater Bechachma Beminion. And the Gemara asks, how is that feasible?
Well, of course, before they rule, they can argue before ruling.
They argue, and then they make a vote.
You mean there's no amendments?
There's no amendments to the Sanhedrin, no. Constitution, which is made by the people for the people, could be amended. Torah, which is by God for God, can't be amended. That's why you can't reform Torah. Reform means to change. Torah is from God. But that was halacha. Once the Bezdin ruled. Now, how did Bezdin rule? By the majority. They took a vote. And that was it.
Majority of 136 to 35.
36 to 35, unless it was capital punishment, you needed a case of two. In other words, if a guy was Chayiv Misa, and the big Bezdin had to rule on it for whatever reason, right? So then at least, normally, a Bezdin to kill needed 23. A Bezdin to do capital punishment, with minimum, was 23. 23, the Torah learns, the Gemara learns like this, to be innocent, you can have 12 and 11. If 12 say innocent, and 11 say guilty, the guy is innocent. But if 12 say guilty, and 11 say innocent, you can't kill him. It has to be a majority of 2. Meaning you need 13 and 10. If 13 say guilty, and 10 say innocent, then you kill him. But if 12 say guilty, and 11 say innocent, the Torah says, they see achre rabim lerois. You can't go by majority to kill somebody. You need a majority of 2.
It was a closed door meeting. It's not public.
Not public. Not only that, once Bezdin ruled, nobody, it's the Havdil, very different than the Supreme Court. Supreme Court in America, when they make a decision, you know exactly who held what.
Yeah.
There's a majority opinion, a minority opinion, everybody, right? You know exactly who voted what. In Bezdin, even in monetary issues, if you have a din Torah and 3 people are in the Bezdin, okay, let's say a guy owes money or not, and Bezdin makes a ruling, he does. Yeah? Obviously, it could be a majority of 2-1. It doesn't have to be 3-unanimous. It could be 2-1, right? Halacha is, nobody is allowed to say, I voted for you, I didn't vote for you. You're not allowed to. Once Beis Din rules, even based on the majority, halachically becomes a unanimous opinion. Mm-hmm. And it's forbidden, it's negative, it's forbidden biblically to say that I was on your side or not on your side.
Nowadays also?
Yeah.
So that's the case. The guy that
when a Beis Din rules today, in mandatory case, 3 Beis Din, not death, capital punishment. That's for sure you're not allowed to say. Once Beis Din rules, halachically becomes a unanimous decision. And therefore, the one that said different than the two is non-existent. But not the non-existent, because you need a Beis Din of 3. He joins the two automatically. And therefore, it's forbidden for him to say, I was on your side or not.
So the case is presented, and the Beis Din goes into...
Seclusion.
And then they come out and they give their...
Right. And if it was capital punishment, we'll learn later, they needed to sleep on it. They needed to sleep on it. To give more time to think.
The Korach thing? Korach
no, to think. Yeah. And then they made the ruling only by day. By day.
Why?
So he said, B'yayim, Xeris HaKosuf. And they had to kill the person that day.
Wow.
They killed him that day, and they hung the body up for a short period of time, and they were not allowed to leave the body hanging overnight. But the din, so that's why they didn't rule Erev Shabbos. Because it's cruelty. Death row is cruelty, by the way. A guy sitting here years, I'm dying, I'm getting killed. And
nobody gets killed, they always get
killed. Because they die of old age before they get killed.
It's a hotel.
Yeah, it's a hotel, we pay for it.
A bull that gores and kills and is known that is a killing wolf. You need a Beis Din of 23 also, right?
No.
You don't?
You're killing the bull, not killing the...
You don't need a Beis Din to kill the bull?
You need, but not 23.
So this guy that rebelled is basically one of the ones that...
One of the 71.
And he's revoicing his opinion that he was...
He's ruling against the Beis Din.
What if the Beis Din already ruled and he now says, well, I'm not... I was the one that ruled...
No, it's afterward. When somebody comes and says Shaila, he's going.
He's still going around ruling after the Beis Din ruled a certain way. This guy is going around ruling against the Beis Din's decision.
That I was not part of.
He's not the part. He says I'm ruling differently. Oh. What?
If you're saying that you can't leave a body hanging or that, then how come for Yashka they nailed him to a thing and that was
you were there.
Jewish.
We didn't do it.
You were there?
No, I wasn't.
How do you know they dealt them?
Oh, so we don't even...
How do you know? I'm asking, I don't know.
The
movie said.
No, but Jews didn't do it anyway, because the Romans did it. That was their custom.
But all we know, they used quality nails.
Made in China.
Okay.
So the Jews voted to kill him.
Anti-Rus.
But didn't the Jews have to kill him also with galvanized or hanging? I never heard of it.
Let's leave it at that. They say the Jews killed him, Tucker.
So it wasn't the way it was on a cross or anything. Just like
so there are references in our Talmud of Gemara about him.
There are references, but the census took it out, and now there are versions that put it back in. Oh. The census, the Goetia census in the Middle Ages took it out.
I thought it was
Romans. That's the rule that he had to get killed. Who actually killed him? I don't know.
But they don't.
But Jews were not.
There's a sefer that has the whole story of Yashka.
They didn't have power to kill those days, the Jews.
What was the main contention against him, the main ruling?
Meisus and Medir, it's causing Jews to worship idols. Okay.
Over then, yeah, back then they couldn't, there was Din Malchut Din, they couldn't...
No, it's still the time when the Jews ruled. The question was when Yashka lived, Bechlal. Mm-hmm. According to some opinions, he was a student of Rabbi Shuv and Prachya. And according to the history, Yashka lived like 100 years later. So it couldn't have been the same guy. So some people say that there were two Yashkas. One student of Rabbi Shuv and Prachya, one later. Some people say, no, the history is... Whatever, I don't know. Tanya Kvasa, Rabbi Yosef, there's a proof to Rabbi Yosef. it says in the Braisa clearly, Martin Abis Pagi Vihim Raleim, if they found this rebellious sage outside Yerushalayim in Beis Pagi, and he rebelled against them, Kugain, and the Braisa says clearly, what did Bezdin go out for? Sheyotu lemelididis egla, either they went out to measure the egla rufa, or Ulahesiv aloiv alazadis, so it says clearly, either egla rufa they went out for, or to add to the cities. I would think that maybe his rebellion is a rebellion. You need the place of Yerushalayim, not in Beis Pagi. But you see clearly the Braisa says, why did the Bezdin go out of 71? The Braisa of 71 went out to measure Egla Rufa. Right? So this is a proof that Rav Yosef, that there is an opinion. It's definitely not our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says Rav Yudan Rav Shimon holds three members of the Bezdin, or five members of the Bezdin. But there is an opinion, obviously, the Blazer Ben Yaakov, who holds that to do Egla Rufa, the whole 71 went out, and the Melech and the Kohen Gadol. It was a whole big to do.
Yaakov studied the exact same with Yosef?
Huh? That's what Yaakov was learning with Yosef. Yeah, Egla Rufa. Okay, then the Mishnah said like this. Netter Avai, the fourth year fruits, Maiseh Sheni, or Maiseh Sheni's values are known. Then the Mishnah says you need a Bezdin of three to appraise it. Now, the din is like this. If Maiseh Sheni, you have to take the fruits and eat in your Shulayim. Yeah, they belong to you, but you must eat it in your Shulayim. Or Netter Avai, which applies, by the way, even today in Eretz Yisrael, not the aspect of it, but the din of it. The first 3 years you have a tree, it's Arla. Can't eat the fruits. Yeah, not only you can't eat it, it's forbidden to benefit. Then the fourth year, you bring the fruits to Yerushalayim and eat them there. He says, what happens if it's too much fruits to schlep? So you evaluate it, how much money it is. Then you bring the money to Yerushalayim, and then you spend the money there on food. Okay, so now the question is, what happens if they didn't know the value of the fruit? Now there's a little kedush in it, because you have to eat in your shalayim. So what happens if you didn't know the value of the fruit? So the Mishnah, our Mishnah said in the Daf Beis, the Bezdin of three evaluates it.
Arlo is dependent on the tree or on the fruit of the tree?
The fruit, the tree.
So if the tree doesn't give fruit for 2 years, then 1 year...
That's 1 year Arlo, and that's it.
So in that sort of way, it doesn't apply to Kutz Laretz nowadays?
Nope. Arla also omil drabanan. Why can you walk into a supermarket and buy fruits? Maybe it's Arla. In Yerushalayim, you can't do that.
Right.
You can't go to Eretz Yisrael and buy fruit. It has a hechshir that it was not Arla. Right? Why over here can you just go into Ralph's and buy fruit?
It's almost impossible that it comes from Israel.
Stuff like the Rabbanan.
No, but I'm saying here, you have a din of
majority.
Arla.
That's what I'm saying, that you can't buy it here because it's not likely that it came from
Israel. Doesn't matter if it came from Israel. Here, the first 3 years of a fruit tree, you can't have the fruit anyway.
Here too?
Also here?
No, here also, Midrabanan. So that's why the din is, because it's only rabbinic, if it's a doubt, you're lenient. In Eretz Yisrael, it's biblical. The din of Arla is biblical even today. So therefore in Israel, it's a biblical doubt, you have to be strict. So until you know for sure it's not Arla, you're not allowed to eat it. But in America, unless you know for sure it's Arla, then if you know for sure it's Arla, you can't eat it. But if you don't know for sure, then it's a doubt, so you're allowed to eat it.
Is every mitzvah the Rabbanan, if it's doubt, you're
lenient? As a rule.
Why isn't that to revive the Rabbanan as far as the right Eretz
Yisrael? Today, that to revive is not in Chutz Laretz.
I'm saying, how come Orla is like this, but Netter Avai doesn't have the same distribution?
Because Netter Avai is only basically going to the Beis HaMikdash. Today we don't have the Beis HaMikdash anyway, so the whole thing changed.
What's the Netter Avai versus Orla?
Orla, the first 3 years. And the fourth year's fruits, you have to eat in Yerushalayim. Or if it's too much to schlep, you change it for money, and you take the money. So the Gemara's, the Amish has said it in, that what happens... If you don't know the value, there's no market value for it. So then you need a Bezdin of three to evaluate it. Okay? So it says like this. Tan Rabban Rabbanan learned. Eiz a Maiseh Sheni Shein Dam of Yuduim. How do you have a case of Maisa Sheni? You don't know the value. I mean, ask a farmer, I'll tell you what the value is. So it says like this, Perisher Kivul, fruits that rotted, V'yayin Shehikrim, and wine that soured, and Moish Shechlidu, coins that rusted. So because they're rotting, there's no market value on it. Market value is only when it's good. When it starts rotting, you don't know market value. So Bezdin needs to evaluate it. Maisa sheni shein damav yiduim. Maisa sheni that the month is not known. Pay the neisim b'shleish lekuchis. You have redeem it for the value which was appraised by three merchants. Okay, meaning buyers. Basically, what it means is you have expert appraisers, and they appraise it. But you need three. Avu b'shleish lei b'shleish shein lekuchis, but not by three that are not experts. Lekuchas means literally buyers, but it means experts. Afilu nachri echad mehem. Even if a guy is one of the three, you can also use them to evaluate. Afilu echad mehem balim. Even if one of the expert merchants is the owner, he could also be one of the three. Okay? So in other words like this. It says, you need to evaluate the value by three merchants, three appraisers. A guy could be one of the three, the owner could be one of the three. So, boy, Rabbi Yemi asked the shayla. Shlei shematilim letakes kich echad. What happens if three merchants deposit their money into one purse? Meaning, if there's three partners in the business, in the fruits, in the field, let's say there are three partners, can they be counted as three appraisers, or they only count as one?
Why?
There's a very interesting, I want you to know this, we're going to see. This is a very practical shaila. You know, many times, whatever you used to say, medical issues, get a second opinion. You know? Mm-hmm. So the shaila is, if there's a partnership of doctors, can you get a second opinion from the same doctor in the same group? Oh. That's really the Gemara's question over here. If there's three partners, can they be counted as three appraisers? Or they only count as one appraiser?
Conflict of interest.
No, the shaila is there's three different people, or they by nature will agree.
Is it one entity or not?
Right. So Gemara says, Tashma, it's a very interesting thing. Ish ushtei nashav, a man and two wives, pay the maisa sheni shein damav yiduin, could evaluate. So you see a man and two wives, that's like one group. Yet this count as three opinions. But the Gemara rejects the proof and says, maybe that means Rav Papa Ubas Abba Surah. Maybe it means like Rav Papa and Bas Abba Surah. Rav Papa's wife was Bas Abba Surah. Okay, this is interesting. When you get married, okay, the Mishnah says later on in Ksubis, the obligations of the husband to the wife and the obligations of the wife to the husband. Mm-hmm. Okay? In other words, her money belongs to him, but he has to support her and all that thing. And she has to cook and bake and all the various jobs that she has to do to the husband. Now what happens if the wife says to the husband, you know what? Let's make a deal. I'm not going to work for you and you don't support me. My money is my money. You don't have to support me.
It's a rich wife.
Yeah, she comes in with a lot of money.
And I don't have to cook for you and stuff.
I don't have to do it. We'll have a good marriage deal. I ain't doing anything for you. You don't do anything for me. I have enough money and I don't need your money. So the Gemara says that was the case of the papa with his wife. Bas Abba Sino. She was a very wealthy woman. So over there, it's not husband and wife is one financially. When the husband is supporting the wife, then it's taka one, maybe. This that the Braisa says, the man and his two wives are considered three opinions, maybe it means a wife that's not supported by the husband.
Financial
maybe, because then it's financial. Because it's financial, the same opinion, right? If it's financially the same people, so then maybe the din is, it has a din of one, not of three. So the Gemara doesn't have a proof, Lepro.
Can she also get out of marital relations?
What?
Can she also get out of marital relations?
That's his obligation for her.
But Papa was rich on behalf of her, or he was rich on his own, right? Because he was very rich.
On his own.
Yeah. A woman is therefore given the option of, this is tomorrow later, refusing her husband's support and keeping her earnings instead. Now, Papa's wife, the daughter of Abbasir, chose this option.
So
she went to work. She said, don't support me, I'll keep my money.
So, Shara Kesuta Onata is not, she can also let go of the, I mean, they
monetary
can.
Monetary things she could change.
Or only money.
So nowadays, if the lady is working, so she has a job, he has a job, both have jobs.
But her job is better than his, yeah? No, just...
Yeah. It's happening a lot right now.
The breadwinners, yeah. Stay-at-home dads.
Yeah.
So these prenuptial agreements are kosher, no?
A prenuptial agreement, any financial agreement you make is valid.
That's a part of Shera?
Yeah.
Ketubah doesn't hold in court.
Huh?
Ketubah doesn't hold in court.
It does.
Except it does not.
In New York, there was a case.
It depends. Sometimes the judge accepts it, sometimes not. Depends on the judge.
Yeah, but if you have a legal financial
case.
No, in New York.
But Shera, it's up to the judge. Shera is middle right. How could.
Exclusives also.
Yeah,
but money you can make mass or mass or custom.
Oh, kasuta is also part of
Shader's clothing. Shader's food. Kasuta's clothing.
I know.
There's money. Money you can make a trail against the tailor.
Why is it up to the judge whether or not he accepts the kasuta if it's a written?
That's the secular system. What else can be?
No, I'm saying it's a formal agreement and it's written in writing. How could they not accept it?
Because they say it's religious.
Oh, how about what have an unbinding arbitration that's religious also?
There's no reason why a judge shouldn't accept it.
Yeah.
But what does the Silva say, basically? It doesn't say too much.
Yeah, he says he's responsible
shekels.
To support
it. It's so
outlandish. Not anymore, they stopped it.
Because the judge would say that they should have had a civil marriage too. Where is that, right? Because it's not binding.
Yeah, but anyway...
The civil marriage is binding, but the civil marriage does not constitute.
I'll give you an example.
Prenuptial agreement.
This question comes up a lot. It depends on the rabbi if he wants to do it or not. Let's say a couple had a get, okay, and the husband wants to remarry, but they don't have the civil divorce yet. He found a girl, he wants to get married, but the civil divorce he didn't have yet. Halachically, is the rabbi allowed to marry him?
Yes.
Yeah, because the opinion, he's divorced. Technically, in secular law, you can because he's still married. But the point is something else. The truth is that if the chuppah is not reckoned in the civil court, so then you didn't do anything against the law. It's like a catch-22 situation. Al pidin, you'd be allowed to, even according to dinah malchus hadinah, because dinah malchus hadinah doesn't say this is a marriage, a chuppah. Right?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Divorced, married people are living together, they didn't finalize the divorce yet, she's already living with somebody else. I mean, it's thousands.
The court can't get them for polygamy in that case.
You can.
What about vice versa? I'm sure that's okay.
But the latter rabbis won't do it. Most rabbis wouldn't do it, by the way.
Why?
Because
somebody just asked me the other day if I would do it, I told them no. Why? Because it's dangerous.
Yeah, you can get exposed.
The wife could come out, or the husband could come out, the stepmother saying, look, this rabbi married off my ex before they got a divorce. It doesn't look good. Halachically, there's nothing wrong with it. It's politically, it doesn't look good.
Because it's the law of the land.
Right. A lot of rabbis, you should know, will not do a chuppah unless you bring the marriage license to the chuppah. Mm-hmm. They fill it out before the chuppah. When they fill out the ksumah, they fill out the marriage license.
Is there a blood war?
That's more modern Orthodox. I always do weddings and they bring me the next day or two or three, whatever. They bring the marriage.
What if they never
a
do
month.
That?
Yeah, a lot of people
they
don't
just get chuppah and that's it. They don't know yet.
It's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. Yeah, but it's protection for later. It's not good.
Is there a blood war you don't look at? One time I remember in Minhag,
blood work.
Something.
It's my friend.
No, they take.
The test that is unanimous.
Dar Yeshayim is called.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not.
It's already in the bank, right? In the blood bank. Or the
Jewish blood bank, Dar Yeshayim.
What's the protection for with the civil?
Yeah,
I mean, is it later?
Because then you're legally married, so then there's legal responsibilities that for the legal to have community property. If you don't have a civil marriage, there's no community property.
What does that mean? I mean,
in California, when a husband and wife are married, everything is 50-50. You know, there's such a, it's called community property. In California, when a husband and wife get married, whether you like it or not, so it's 50-50. That means, even though the house is in his name or her name, it's still 50-50. But if you don't have a marriage license, okay, and the house is on his name or her name, and they get divorced, so then the court's going to rule whoever house the name of the house is on.
The tax papers.
Whatever.
Then it becomes an argument if the ketubah is a valid marriage.
As a rule, the courts don't accept as a valid marriage. Because it's religious.
Separation of church and state.
Yeah.
Not always, Rabbi.
What always? It depends on the judge. That's what I said before. But as a rule, they don't.
But if there is not a civil marriage, but there is a chuppah with a ketubah, that's patur.
Patur from what?
Well, it's a kosher...
Yeah, if she commits adultery, she gets killed. Not nowadays. She can't marry anybody else without a get, yeah.
Rabbi, these days on civil court, they don't really hold against them if any of the party commits adultery, right? No, seriously, do they...
In today's world, the judges are committing adultery.
In Iran, they...
they don't. The woman, not the man.
Anyway, but this is an interesting shaila. The shaila of the Gemara basically is...
Yes, that's the answer.
No, but if you see from the Gemara...
It is.
The Gemara's answer, if it's Rav Papa and his wife, only then is it considered two opinions. Otherwise, it's considered one.
Yeah.
But the question is that the real pshat of that braisa? The Gemara says, you don't have a proof of the braisa because maybe it's speaking about that type of a guy.
So you've got to go to another group for the doctor?
Yes.
It's questionable.
So in the from Seder Sinai, you have to go to another hospital?
No, you go to a different medical group.
Friendly doctor.
No, what do you mean the medical groups? Even then, it's only if the doctors are supporting one another financially. If they're not supporting each other financially,
there's different opinions, right? Then it's different.
Then it's different. You're right. In the same group. No, but the doctors not paying each other.
Doesn't matter. It's one LLC.
Camaraderie.
No, the question is if the money goes into a coupon, then they divide the money. Right?
This is not halacha, right, Rabbi? If someone, if the medical group sends you a patient to see for a second opinion, you're allowed to see him in a second opinion.
You'll have to see?
See it.
Why not?
If someone, it's one of my colleagues in my group, sends me a patient as a second opinion,
no,
I can say I'm a second opinion.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.